I read a story about two wealthy ladies who, back in the late 30s, decided that they would take a shopping trip to Europe. Got on a boat and took a couple of weeks to get over there and went through Paris and went around France and then made their way over to England and landed in London. And through their shopping and going back and forth, they came across, one of the ladies came across this beautiful necklace. Just exquisite, rare, beautiful. It cost about $20,000. Now, in the 30s, that $20,000 was a lot of money. Now, it's still a lot of money, but, you know, I mean, it was a lot of money in those days. So she went to Western Union, which is what you had to do in those days, and she sent a telegram back to her husband and said, you know, found this amazing one-of-a-kind necklace, $20,000. Please advise. Yeah, absolutely. And her husband gets it, shoots her back a telegram really quickly, and she opens it, and she just about cries, and she looks at it and says, no price too high. Isn't it sweet? And so she buys it, goes back home. He meets her at the dock. She has the necklace on, and he about has a heart attack. He says, I cannot. I said, no. She says, no, no, no. I have it right here. You says, no price too high. She says, no, 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 no. I meant, no, period, price too high. And that was the origin, if you remember, in all of the Western Union telegrams where you would have a sentence and they would say, stop. They also had to buy that necklace. True story. Words can get us in deep, deep trouble. But we can't avoid them. We have to use them. They are God's gift to us. We speak about 20,000 to 25,000 of them every single day. That's a book every 2 days of our lives. We're speaking words. So in this series, 31 words that will save your life, we're going to talk about how to use words to build the life of our dreams. How to use words, for lack of a better word, how to use words to raise our overall likability. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be liked. There's nothing wrong with being a person that people want to be around and want to gravitate toward. The question is, how of all the words to choose, what are just the right words that make just the right sounds that when people hear them, they respond positively? Listen to what Proverbs says. The tongue has the power of life and what? And the words really do rule the world. Listen to this. I put in your outline. There's an unbreakable bond between the words that you are using and the results that you are getting. Let's read that together out loud. There is an unbreakable bond between the words that you are using and the results that you are getting. Mark Twain, that great theologian, said that the difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and the lightning bug. I mean, there are huge differences in just using our words. Listen to this. This is Jesus. I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word you have spoken. By your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be. You see, we have a saying in our culture that actions speak louder than words. And there is some truth to that. It's not what you say or do. It's what you say, then do. It's both together. It's following those things up. It's using the right words and following them up with action. So ask yourself, if there is truly an unbreakable bond, if there's something deeply and profoundly spiritual about the words, you think of all the things that when Jesus returned back to heaven, of all the things he left us, all he really left us were his words. Didn't leave us an institution, didn't leave us financing. He left us words. In John 1, he is called the Word. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word. And he's given to us words. So ask yourself these questions. One, do my words heal or hurt? How many of you know that hurt people hurt people? If you're living with unforgiveness, if you're living with bitterness, if you're living with some kind of sense of shame and guilt, if there's something you've done or something you're doing that you're hiding down deep in your soul, your words will betray you. Ask yourself, are my words hurting words? Are my words more like a scalpel than a Band-Aid? And if they are, why are they? Why do I, under pressure, go to such cutting, critical, sinister, dripping words? There's something going on in your heart. Ask yourself, do my words elevate or do they devastate? When you come into a room, do people kind of straighten up and get ready? Okay, this is going to be good. Or do they kind of lay back, hunched over? Oh my God, has it already started? Ask yourself this question. Do my words engage people in conversation or do they enrage people? Do they cause people to simply fight amongst each other? Am I a person who causes division? Do my words insulate the pain in the room or do they isolate people from each other? How about this one? Do my words inspire or do my words intimidate? Am I trying to compensate with my words? Oftentimes, we use the very words that were used on us. Have you ever said to yourself, maybe you, when you were younger, you know what, when I grow up and have kids, I'm not going to ever do this. I'm not ever going to say this. I mean, there are, you may not believe this, but trust me, there are parents who actually use words to try to discipline their children. Words like, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're slow, you're just like your brother, you're just like your father, you're just like your uncle, your mother, you're like your Uncle Fred. You're the dumb kid. You're not as bright as your brother. You were an oops. I didn't plan on him. I've been in places where people talk in normal tones and use those words about their children. And I just want to say, won't you just take out a butcher knife and just slice them up? Some of you are living with the wounds. And here's what happens. If you don't get healing from all of that, if Jesus Christ doesn't come down deep in your soul, we're not just talking about forgiveness of sins and going to heaven. We're talking about a deep, thorough healing down in your soul where you are able to let that anger and pain go. You will use those same words in order to defend yourself in public and also in private. You see, words are either raising your life to a new level or ruining your life. If you'll go with me through this 8-week journey, I promise you, your life will be changed. Not because of me, but because of the power of these words and how we put them together and how we use them. There is no human defense against these words. You can't ignore a person who uses these words. You cannot not like a person who uses these words. You might get away from them. You might move to another city. But people are defenseless against people who use their words to raise the conversation rather than to ruin. And every one of us know how easy it is and how miserable it is to live around people who are using their words to ruin everything. Most of you in this room who are dreading going back to work in the morning aren't dreading the work, aren't dreading the drive, aren't dreading the fact that your office, you know, hasn't been painted in 10 years or 20 years or since Columbus came over on the Mayflower. You know what you're dreading? You're dreading the people. You're dreading the people. Listen to what the scriptures say. Let's read this together. It's all the way at the bottom of your outline. Here we go. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. Let me just stop it. Just breathe that in. Is that not weird? If you could control your tongue, you would be. So if you've ever said, I know I'm not perfect, what you're saying is, I use really stupid words all the time. All right, let's try it again. Let's go. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a bit in its mouth. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark that can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, and it can set on fire by hell itself. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? What a great example. Your words reveal what's really going on in your soul. And so what we want to do is we want to change from the inside out and express that change through the words and the actions that follow and back up those words. All of us deal with these situations. We deal with situations where words degenerate into gossip. Gossiping about people. Why is it? Explain this to me. If Bubba says something to you that hurts your feelings, wouldn't it seem reasonable that you would call Bubba and say, Bubba, we need to talk. You said, I look uglier than the shadow of the moon on a dark night. Did you mean that metaphorically, or was there something I didn't get? Would that make sense? What we do is we call Bob. Bob, you know Bubba. Bubba said, I look uglier than the shadow of a moon on a dark night. What do you think he meant? Bob interprets. Well, I don't know. You know how Bubba is. Let me call Bill. I'll get back to you. So Bob calls Bill and asks Bill what Bubba meant. And Bill, what does Bill do? Bill calls his brother. His brother calls Bubba. As Bubba finds out that you got a problem, he was joking around. And who does Bubba call? He calls Bill's brother. You tell that so-and-so, if he got a problem with me, you have him come talk to me. And then Bill's brother calls Bill. And then Bill calls Bob. Then Bob calls you. And by the time it gets to Bob, Bob says, Bubba don't want anything else to do with you. You've never experienced anything like that, have you? Where God, listen to what the scripture, mean people spread gossip. Listen, folks, there are mean people. They're just mean. They just are. And those of us who are predisposed toward grace and goodness and God and generosity and the higher and more noble things of life, sometimes just say, I just can't understand why people be so mean. Well, they are. Some people just are mean. But what most of us do is say, I must have deserved that criticism and that gossip. And we start picking ourselves apart, all at the same time being mad at the person who originated, but really trying to fix ourselves so that we really feel like we would be better people. Everyone would like us. I'm telling you what, that is a lie from the pit of hell, and it smells like, thank you. Or just some mean people. Troublemakers start fights. Gossip break up friendships if you let them. How about this one? Gossips can't keep secrets, so never confide. I like this great Hebrew word. In blabbermouths. That's how the message paraphrase. Words will ruin your life, not only when they degenerate into gossip, but when they create dissension. Most people at work and at home and in their relationships live with dissension, not the kind of dissension that comes from not knowing our mission or our goal or our values, but from the fact that we are so messed up in the way we're using our words that there's just a constant sense of friction and tension and gossip going on. If you uncover most office problems and family problems and relationship problems, they all began many times with an innocent misunderstanding or a small slight. Let me give you an example. This is a real advertisement. It was in the paper, and it says this: for sale, R.D. Jones has one sewing machine for sale. Phone 958-3030 after 7 p.m. and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him, cheap. So the next day, a correction came out. Notice, we regret having aired an R.D. Jones ad yesterday. It should have read, one sewing machine for sale, cheap. Phone 958-3030 and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him, after 7 p.m. True story. The third day, here's the correction. R.D. Jones has informed us that he has received several anonymous phone calls because of the error that we made in his classified ad yesterday. His ad stands corrected as follows. For sale. R.D. Jones has one sewing machine for sale, cheap. Phone 958-3030 after 7 p.m. and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who loves with him. Next and last day. Notice, I, R.D. Jones, have no sewing machine for sale. I smashed it. Don't call 958-3030 as the telephone has been taken out. I've not been carrying on with Mrs. Kelly. Until yesterday, she was my housekeeper, but now she's quit. That's dissension, isn't it? And how many times have corporations, companies, good ideas, partnerships, relationships, and marriage broken up for nothing more than something that silly? But we allow our words to be used and twisted and misunderstood till they ultimately cause division. Listen to what the scriptures say, Romans 16:17. Mark them which cause divisions among you. This is a gift. I'm not going to charge you for this. If you own a company, you have employees, you have people, you have someone in your company causing division, go in tomorrow, do them the best favor you've ever do them, fire them. Send them home, give them severance, wave them goodbye, give them a big sloppy kiss on the mouth as they go, but fire them. People who cause division are like people who poison the well. Many of us think we can overcome and compensate for people like that. Until they get fixed, until they get healed, until something happens down deep in the core of their soul, they're going to cause more division. They're like poison. At first, what they say is not believable, but when they say it enough and with enough emphasis, it becomes believable. Listen to what the scriptures say. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each one should look not only to his own interest, but also in the interest of others. It's this philosophy, and you either buy into it or you don't. Generosity begets generosity. Let's say that together. Generosity begets generosity. One more time. Generosity begets. Gossip begets. Division begets. Dissension begets. Love begets love. Grace begets grace. You know what I have found? What you give other people when you're up and they're down is what they'll give you when you're down and they're up. If you give them grace, You give them kindness. You give them consideration. You give them your words. You see, there are these words. There are sounds that we all long to hear. That we're craving to hear. That we need to hear. That we must hear. Or we cannot be healthy without these sounds. Isn't it interesting? God gave us two ears and one mouth. Maybe it's because we have twice the need to hear the right things as to say the right things. Maybe it is that what we hear down deep in our soul becomes the content of the conversation that we have to offer. This is how we use our words. So in this series, 31words.com, or 31 words that will save your life, we're going to take these 31 words and see how they craft together the six sounds. These 31 simple words put together in the right way can help your life go to a level you've only dreamed possible. I really mean that. Because these are the words, there are no defense against these words, and these words create the kind of likability, the kind of life, the kind of love, the kind of goodwill, the kind of generosity that you're looking for and that God wants you to experience. Listen to this. Proverbs 15 says this: a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Here are the six sounds that the 31 words make. The first is the sound of adoration. Here are the three words. I love you. Say that with me. I love you. You have a great voice, by the way. This is up here reading while you're on. I'm like, man, this guy's a radio. Is this a radio man here? I love you. That's the sound. See, all of us are listening for that sound of adoration. Does anyone out there think I'm special? Does anybody love me? Anybody really care about me? Anyone raise me to that level? For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. Love gives. It's the core of that generosity. I love you. The sound of adoration. You need to say it. I know my father loved me. He did all the right things. I've heard people use this phrase, it goes without saying. Ever heard that one? Well, what going without saying shouldn't? The sound of adoration, I love you. Sound number two is the sound of affirmation, I believe in you. Say it with me. I believe in you. Sound number one, I love you. Sound number two, I believe in you. Man. I love you. I believe in you. That's affirmation. I believe in who you are, not just what you do. I don't love you for what you produce. I don't love you for your good works. I don't love you because you made an A or you got a promotion or were able to afford this cabin at the lake. I love you. I believe in you for you. The sound of affirmation, adoration, affirmation. Number three, the sound of admiration. I am proud of you. Say it with me. I am proud of you. I love you. Say it with me. I love you. I believe in you. I am proud of you. Woo! That's high octane right there, buddy. I mean, you got people going, yeah, what? Oh, yeah, I want to be around you. You love me, you believe in me, and you're proud of me. Why is it in God's holy name do we ever think that condemning people will make them better? My mother told me years and years ago, she said, I'll teach you to make a D. I said, Mother, I already know how to make a D. Teach me to make an A. Threatening and condemning, you know, just, I remember when I was a kid, people used to say, you're rambunctious, you always get in trouble. And I just wrote down, don't disappoint them. You know what you find? You find you live up or down to the words of the people around you. If someone says to you, I am proud of you. You know what, people, we all need praise. The sound of admiration. So sound number one is, I love you. Sound number two is, I believe in you. Sound number three is, I'm proud of you. Here's sound number four, the sound of appreciation. I need you in my life. I need you in my life. All of us want to be needed. And there's a big difference, and we'll talk about this when we get here on this journey. There's a big difference between being needed and being necessary. I don't want to be a dispenser of cash to my kids. I don't want to be an ATM. I don't want to be necessary, but you know what? I do want to be needed. I want my children to need me as their father. I want my wife to need me as her husband. We all need to be needed, and we need to be appreciated for what we do. Unappreciated people break. And here's the tendency. We tend to try appreciate the people that we're trying to win over. And not appreciate the people we've already won over. You know what I'm talking about? The people in your... Do you have people in your life who just do stuff for you, who just love you, just, you know, they just are always there, they're always faithful, and you just kind of... They're invisible. You know what I'm saying? How about the guy or the gal at the where you pump your gas? They don't need to be appreciated. I mean, they're pulling down mega bucks. I mean, wouldn't you want to be the person sitting behind that glass window hearing the change hit that little tin cup there all day long? Hearing people whine about the price of gas? I mean, that is a job you pray for at night. When's the last time you ever appreciated them? When's the last time I was at a grocery store the other day where they actually take out your groceries? I used to do that. That's one of the jobs I had as a kid. And I don't let them do that. I just, you know, it's just like you stay in, stay cool. I'm going to the car anyway. But on this day, there was a kid. It seemed to be challenged a little bit. And I thought, you know, I said, I'll tell you. He said, no, it's just my job. And I could tell he was really serious. And I let him take it out, and we set up a conversation. We talked. And, you know, I thought, you know, this kid needs, in some way, this kid needs me to let him take my groceries out, put them in my truck. It was a great experience. He needs to be needed and appreciated. And he had a little tag that says, don't tip. I tipped him anyway. He said, my tag said, don't tip. I said, I don't give a rip. I can't read. I felt great. He needed to be needed. Sound number five, the sound of empathy. I'm sorry, I don't tell you more. You talk about words that are always appropriate anywhere you go. Here they are. I'm sorry, I don't tell you more. Anytime I prepare to take us to a journey, whatever that subject, I have to live it somehow. So this week, I became a great illustration by walking through the kitchen. Paula was at the table working on her computer, working on stuff diligently, and something happened, and I looked at her and said, it's all your fault. It was your responsibility, and you didn't get it done. And walked out. Wasn't that great? Thank you, God. Boy, man, made me feel good. So I go in another part of the house. I'm sitting down thinking, I am the biggest jerk in the history of America. God Almighty, I am broke in a way that is beyond repair. I mean, what in God's name was that all about? And I'm dreading to have to go back. Now I got to go back and tell her I'm sorry for the 79th time that morning. And so, you know, before I... being the spiritual giant leader of my home that I am, get up and go back and apologize. She comes into me and says, are you okay? Having a rough day? So sweet and kind. I hate that. Don't you? You know what I said? I have nothing to say. I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. I've got an Academy Award in dumbness. I knew when I was saying it was a stupid thing to say, but I said it anyway. I'm sure you've never had that happen. Have you ever prayed, oh God, don't let me open my mouth and say something stupid, and he not answer that prayer? Well, this is the word he gave you to get you out of that ditch. I am sorry, and I'm sorry I don't tell you more. Sound number seven is the sound of loyalty. I will not let you go. I will not let you go. You will not walk away. You're better than this. You're not going to go over in a corner and just fade away. I love you. I am loyal to you. Loyalty doesn't mean saying that everything to everyone you love does everything exactly right. It doesn't mean glossing over their weaknesses or their flaws or their sins. It simply means loving them the most when they deserve it the least. Say that with me. Loving them the most when they deserve it the least. Wow. Yay, God. So here they are, the six sounds. I love you. Ready? I love you. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. I need you in my life. I'm sorry I don't tell you more. And I will not let you go. 31 wonderful words. It'll change your life, save your marriage, save your career, save your job. Great words. Now here's what I want us to do. Three simple daily things that we're going to do during this 8-week journey. You can go to 31words.com and sign up. All this will be delivered right to your inbox. And you can go right through this journey together, not only here at the gathering, but every day applications will come and it can help you. But here are the three daily things I want you to do. I want you to commit to do with me during these 8 weeks. One, I want you to act on the urge to be generous. All of you have it. It happens every day. It's that urge when you're at Starbucks. It says, you know, buy the coffee of that person in front of the back of you. But you don't want to do it because you don't want to look foolish. You want to be cool. You want to be self-absorbed. You don't want to, if someone said, why would you buy my coffee? It's just acting on the urge to be generous, because I believe that generosity begets generosity. I just thought you'd just have a great day. Just act on the urge. I came into my little office this morning and I had a present. I love presents. I love surprises. I love big presents. I love little presents. I love any kind of present. So anytime you're in the giving mood, I'm always in the receptive case. Anyway, I got this and there's a card with it. And, I get things like this. You know, I love motorcycles and I love this stuff. It's pretty fragile. So most of the ones that I've been given are up on a top shelf where you can't mess with them. This thing, you can throw across the room. It's like a brick. So the card in it said, I came across this. It's made from old discarded parts. And I thought, that's exactly what you do. As you take broken lives and you put them back together to create something beautiful. Oh, God, make my day. Make my day. So I looked at it more carefully, and the wheels are two old ball bearings. The engine is an old small lawnmower spark plug. The oil tank is, and the transmission is an old link of a chain. I mean, this thing is cool. Isn't that cool? Now, you think that I would keep this forever? And do you think when I look at that and all these reused parts, I remember the words on that card? I don't know what it cost her. I don't know what the card cost. I don't know, but I tell you what, she made my day. All because someone acted on the urge to be generous. Here's the second thing. I want you to keep your head. I know this is tough. It's going to take some major change for some of you. I want you to keep your head up and smile at people. Anybody ever get taught posture when you're in school? There is such a thing as posture. Standing up straight, looking straight ahead. I want you to act on the urge to be generous. Two, I want you to stand up straight, enter a room, smile, look at people in the eye. Whoa. That'd be epic. Because usually the most time you're ever looking in the eyes, you get cussed at. Smile, people. Smile. Smile. Come on. Somebody smile right now. Smile. Guys, this is serious. I got to hurry. But have you ever, this is honest truth now. You can laugh at this if you want to, but it's true. There are some people, have you ever met some people like really ugly? I mean, they're seriously ugly. It's not like they're just cute, not pretty, but cute. They're just ugly. It's not their fault, as it's not your fault that you're, attractive. If you are, which most of you are. But have you ever been around somebody who's just, you say, boy, wow, They're pretty ugly. And then they speak. And all of a sudden, somehow they're not ugly anymore. You get around them, you get their personality, they have a great sense of humor, they make you feel good when you're around them, and all of a sudden you see them very differently. Have you ever seen a guy and a gal together and one's attractive, one's ugly, and you say, oh my God, what did that happen? You know, well, because you know what, there's something more important than just what you see. And we know it, and we react to it, we respond to it. People are not going to judge you on how you look. Trust me, they do not. They may at first, but they would judge you on the words coming out of your mouth. Are they gracious words? Are they loving words? Are they words that heal and help and inspire? If they are, then people will be attracted to you. So act on the urge to be generous. Stand up, walk into a room and smile. Don't worry, they'll think you've done something wrong and they'll all want to know what you did. And the third thing is make someone's day. Just make someone's day. And if you'll make someone's day every day, just one person every day, make their day. And it can be something big. It can be something small. You could buy a gift that reminds you of someone, or a card, letting someone in traffic, buying them a cup of coffee, get them a Starbucks card, get them an Apple iTunes card. Hey, give them an iPhone, I'm sure people are open to that kind of generosity. I just know I certainly am. And let's just see what happens. You want to? Seriously. But here's what I believe. If we could start a movement of just simple acts of generosity, random acts of generosity, random acts of generosity, where we act on that urge, we walk in and smile at people and talk to them and act like we're glad to be there and just make someone's day by some act of random generosity. Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool if we could create that kind of movement? And we just did that all the time and people would wonder what's going on. What are we on? Have we drank the Kool-Aid? Let's pray. Father, I pray right now for every person in this room. And Father, I pray that down deep inside where the words are formed, that there would be love and grace and forgiveness and peace, that you would generate within us a confidence and a security that comes only in Jesus, that you would heal our heart and our soul and take away the pain and the shame. Father, there are people in this room who are addicted to alcohol and pornography, addicted to rage and anger, addicted to drugs, had to take something to get here this morning, all because they're covering up that pain. And that humiliation and that sorrow. I pray they'll open up their hearts and let you see everything down deep inside. It's not anything you haven't already seen, not anything you haven't already forgiven. Forgive them and love them, Father, and put them back together. And put in their heart the kind of words that elevate, the kind of words that heal, the kind of words that create. I give them to you, Father, as a pastor of this church. I pray an anointing of your favor on them. Favor on their family, favor on their finances, favor on their emotions, favor in the marketplace, that you'll fill their mouths full of gracious words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Go get them.